All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys? Good? Amen. The breakfast was especially delicious today, huh? That means I have permission to preach at least another hour today. I got a two-hour message right here. I'm going to get a straight story. It's 10 pages of notes right here. Honestly, usually I have like 5 pages, you know, so it's going to be now. God is good. Amen? All right. Man, we're on week 3 of our series, Hidden Treasure. Today the title is "What Living for What Matters Most." Now you guys all know that this is the most beautiful and what? The smartest church in all of Sanger, California. So if I ask you guys what was week 1 about, I know you guys already know. It's what is it? What are you chasing? What are you chasing after, right? You're all chasing after something. We learned that what? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What does that mean? In layman's terms. It's what you value, what you prioritize, right, is where your heart is. Amen? And then last week we learned about the farmer who is blessed, but he was ultimately, at the end of the day, he was a fool. You guys remember that? Not the way that you tell your friends, you fool. Get out of here, fool. No, not like that. Hey, fool. Not like that. A biblical fool means that you're lacking the things of God, that your focus is so off base that you're missing the big things, you're missing what matters most in your life. And Jesus was very clear on that. He says, listen, don't be a fool. Be rich in the things of God. And what we're finding here is that oftentimes, listen, it's not the superficial stuff that Jesus cares about. It's not the superficial things that God is impressed with. That the culture that we live in is very much about how you look and what car you drive and how you're this and that. Does that make sense to everybody? We live in a very materialistic world, guys. But God is ultimately revealing things through his word, and also what we're learning through the study is that he's more concerned about what? The things that are hidden. In fact, Jesus often talked about the kingdom of God being like a treasure that was buried, and you had to find it. You have to search for it. And the reality, and the sad reality, is oftentimes people will chase after fool's gold. The treasures of the world, only to obtain it, and find out that it didn't satisfy you, that it didn't make you whole, that you had it and you still felt empty, that you achieved what you wanted to and you still felt alone, or you felt anger or bitterness or whatever it was, because ultimately the treasures that are promised by the world don't satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies the true needs of our hearts. And so we're going to be diving in a little today to learn more about that. And at the end of the day, right, we're going to close the series and look at Jesus is right here. He's watching you, okay? I'm watching you, but Jesus is watching you too. My daughter is like, can I put Jesus on your little preaching stand? I said, yes, that's fine. And I said, what if he falls over? She says, don't worry, Dad, he'll rise up again. That was good. That was good. That's a true story. So if Jesus falls, he will rise. Amen? But we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today, and we're going to be learning from a letter that Paul wrote to the church in where? Philippi. I know a lot of you guys are married to a Filipino woman. She's like, oh, Paul was writing the letter to the Philippines? No. Philippi. It still has some juice in it, babe. I use that joke every time I preach from Philippians. I use that joke. It never gets old. It's a dad joke. That's a pastor joke, actually, now. But today we're going to be focused on the sermon topic is what? Living for what matters most. Now, if I kind of got up in your business, if I went to your house, and I started opening up your drawers, and started opening up your bills, and was all like, all up in your business, checking your phone, your history. Yeah. Checking your Netflix account and your Apple TV. What would I find? All kinds of things of God there? Would I find that he's a priority, that he's the treasure of your life? And in your life, it's always about God. Would I find that? Yes. She said yes. The reality of it is it's a mixed bag, right? It's sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, our walk with God seems like it could be situational. When you have a desperate need for God, and when you're in the trial and the storm, of course, you're searching all kinds of things about God. You're worshiping Him, you're praising Him at all times. But when things are good, or maybe when we get distracted a little bit, we'll find out that we are more into things of leisure, sports and entertainment, and binge watching on Netflix, and then scrolling, right? Some of you guys have arthritis because your thumb keeps going like this all day, right? So we wouldn't find that. So what we're going to look at today is to say, how do we make sure that our lives are in alignment, that we're living for what truly matters most? And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open them to chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You guys there? All right, we're going to read from verse 1 through 14, and then we're going to come back and break it down. Verse 1 says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write these same things to you again, and it is to safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless." Now pay attention. "But whatever were gains to me, now I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but yet I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Amen? Man, that's a lot, right? That's a big steak at where? Are we Chris, maybe? Trader Joe's? No, Tahoe Joe's. That's a big steak, right? So we say, I can't give it all to you. You can't go, but you're going to choke. Okay, let's break it down. So this is who's writing this letter. I told you guys earlier. Paul, I knew you guys were paying attention. That's why you're the smartest and most beautiful church in all of Southern California. So Paul is writing this letter. Where is he writing it from? Writing it from from prison, right? The first prison ministry was Paul's. And he's writing a letter. This is about 60 to 62 AD. He's writing to the church in Philippi, which is in Macedonia. And he's writing to encourage the believers. You guys remember that? Now, the first portion of it, you guys know, it's like we read and it's like, what's he talking about all this? Circumcision and this and that and that. And so Paul, right, if you guys remember, he was a Jewish person. You guys remember that? Yes. And at that time, there was still a little bit of push and pull because the Jews were all about the law, observing the law. And some teachers had crept in, and even though they were already believing in Jesus Christ, this is the Christian church, they were creeping in and they were saying, it's Jesus, but you must also observe the law. It's both. And Paul is reminding him to say, listen, it's not about the law. Christ has come to fulfill that. And so he's talking about the Gentiles. They were saying, you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you still have to get circumcised. Right? The men in here just kind of winced a little bit. No? Okay. It was funny in my head. But they were preaching that you had to do both. That you had to do both. It was the law and Christ. And Paul's reminder said, no, it's not the law. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone that saves you. Right? So Paul starts writing, and then he starts to say, look, but if anybody has the credentials, right, if we're going to be about the law, then nobody has it better than me. He says, what? Because I'm a Jew, I'm a Hebrew of a Hebrew, circumcised on the eighth day. And the other portion, you said that he was what? Educated at the feet of Gamaliel, right? Everybody knew who these people were. These are not like made up names. You would know these names, right? And so he considered himself, like, listen, if anybody has reason to boast in the law, it would be me. But he didn't say that because he turns the page a little bit and he flips the script on, and we get to verse 7. Now, what does that mean to you? You're like, that's good, but that's not applicable to me. How many of us in here are in the room thinking that we have it all right with God because we're doing certain things? I'm serving in the church. I'm doing these things. When the pastor worships and he messes up, I still raise my hand. I still wash the window. Even though he's messing up all the time, but pastor, forgive, God forgive him. He's terrible sometimes at worship. I am terrible at worship sometimes, guys. But some of us in here, listen. I always say there's not a lot. Whenever I get into the Word and I start learning about the Jewish culture and the tradition and the ways of the law, I say, man, there's not that much difference from the Jews than there is from us. Because we start to look around, don't we? We start to keep score. Oh, did you see so-and-so? Oh, I didn't see her in church today. Ooh. Did you see so-and-so? Oh, he wasn't singing loud at all. Did you see so-and-so? They were talking in the back. Did you see so-and-so? I haven't seen them. You guys, yes or no? It's true, guys. It's true. I'm here to pull back the curtain, right? Listen, in this church, I'm going to be crystal clear on you. The enemy is a liar, and we are all sinners saved by grace. We need Jesus every single day. We need to pray every single day because the enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver, right? And what brings us together is a unity in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus himself says it in what? He says it in John 17. He says, they will know that the Father has sent me by what? By the unity of the church. And so listen, as God is, we're 3 years old now, 2.5. We're still wearing diapers as a church. I know that you're like, oh, that's gross, Pastor. You guys have all had babies. We're getting, God is calling us into a season of maturity as a church too, right? And so listen, we're at that page where it's like, okay, now we're growing. We're wearing size 3 in the Huggies now. Okay. Those are like $50 a pack, huh? They're expensive. I'm telling you. I'm glad my kids got trained. I have 4 kids. I was changing diapers for 8 years, guys. Man, praise God, I'm out of that phase. Isn't it such a blessing, though? Get back in the car, Pastor. God is calling us into a season of maturity as a church to say, listen, we can't be like those other people out there. And I don't mean that as a negative thought. I said, listen, we gotta be united in Christ. We can't be legalistic in here. We can't be counting. We can't be, oh, did you see Jesse? Man, he got like 4 pieces of bread today. You know? He did, huh? He got 5. They were actually, they corrected me. 5 pieces, brother. We can't be legalistic like that. Because listen, what are we called to do? We have to have the Spirit of Christ living in us, the unity of Jesus Christ. Amen? So Paul was warning you against legalism. Because your natural flesh is want to be legalistic. Here in the church and outside of the church. Oh, how about at work? In the church, okay, I started here. How about at work? Aren't you always looking to see what so-and-so is doing? Oh, so-and-so didn't do this and that. Oh, he didn't do this and that. Oh, he was late. They never tell him nothing. They only tell me stuff. Does that sound familiar to you guys at all? It does, huh? But it's not, hopefully not here. Those people, the other people that you know, they complain like that. We don't complain like that. Right? No, the legalism extends outside of the church. We're always counting. We're always looking, right? Paul is reminding us to say, man, that stuff is, that's of the world, guys. We need to be living for Christ. He needs to be the head of all things. The sermon series that we're on right now is about what? It's about treasure. It's about where you are in your walk. And so the first couple of weeks, we learned that sometimes we want to accumulate things, possessions, like transformers, and different. How many of you guys collect? The new thing right now is, I guess Pokemon cards are in again. You guys know that? That's like a new thing. People are lining up. Where is it? Sam's Club, all night to get Pokemon cards. Ma, didn't that come and go already? Now it's back again. How many of you guys used to wake up and collect like Beanie Babies? Anybody got into that craze? What's another big collectible that's come and gone? Cabbage Patch. Yeah, get in line to get Cabbage Patch Kids. What else you guys get in line for? Nobody. Who is waiting in line to get a Funko Pop, or is it Labubu? Some of you guys. Yeah, you're like, no, that was not me. Matt, tell me, help me. What's the newest thing right now? He doesn't know. Nito? What is that? A squeeze ball? Oh, like the squishies? A Nito? Okay, I don't even know what that is, guys. You guys throw hit me with the Nito in the head. I can't tell you what it is. I thought it was how about the dumplings? That's a new little thing? Okay, is that a different one? Listen, people get all kinds of crazy to try to collect things, right? Oh, it's going to be worth so much. It's not going to be worth nothing, guys. It's plastic. And then we try to collect clothes. We try to collect shoes. Anybody collect shoes in here? One person collect shoes? Yeah. Oh, I got the whatever numbers, Jordan. I got the 13, the 12. I don't know what that is. I don't know either. I don't collect. At the end of the day, listen. Those are kind of like cool little collectible things, but they don't satisfy. They don't bring you peace, because when you have that one, guess what? You want the next one. Or you want the first one. You know who, I always say this, listen. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, man, and he got a hold of me, man, I feel like I had it all, guys. And that's what we're here to learn about, is what are you treasuring the most in your life? Sometimes we're treasuring what? The relationships. We're treasuring the job. We're treasuring possession. We're not treasuring the great car because we burned it after last Sunday. Right? It's at home now. He didn't even bring it to church today. He thought, Pastor was going to set my car on fire. I'm not even bringing it to church today. No. Listen, we can't try to stack and collect things. It doesn't satisfy, guys. And that's what Paul is warning us about. Paul is warning us about, listen, you think you're gaining things. And he was talking about position. He was talking about his religious position as well. He was even talking about his social status. Right? You guys remember that in the first church, in the early church, the church was both, it was both your rule of government and was both ends the church. And so if anybody has reason to boast, it should be me. But then he turns a page and he does that in verse 7. And that's the first key point. The first key point for today's message is a relationship with Jesus Christ changes the value of everything else. A relationship with Jesus Christ changes the value of everything else. So the first six verses, he's talking about his position, what he has to do, what he's gaining, or his position in the church. But verse 7 is the key. It says, "But whatever were gains to me, now I consider loss for the sake of Christ." What were gains were, I consider them loss. Or almost nothing compared to what? To knowing Jesus Christ. Man, that should be our heart posture, guys. That all these things that we work for and all the things that we've strived so hard to achieve, when we get to know Jesus Christ and we get to know God, it should change everything. It should change our priorities. It should change our proclivities. It should change definitely our heart. Because at the end of the day, right, Jesus came to what? He didn't come to give us more stuff. He didn't come to make us feel better. He came to set us free. He came to save us from sin and to make sure that we had a way back to God. The relationship with Jesus Christ changes the value of everything else. Because listen, right? He shows us that when we value Jesus Christ, it changes everything. Stop living for yourself. Listen, before we come to Christ, we're always thinking about who? Me, right? What's in it for me? What's my image? What's going to happen? How can I benefit from this? What's in it for me? Now, you know people like that? You know people like that. They don't come to this church, I hope. But we all know people like that, yes or no? You know how, I don't have to talk about other people. I used to look at that guy in the mirror. And even though he was trying on the surface to do all the right things and follow these things, at the end of the day, if I was honest with myself, the person that was looking back at me was always looking out for number one. That is what Jesus came to save us from. Amen? And so listen, a lot of us, we've been living for what? We're living for the world, living for the image. You're chasing after somebody's what? Approval. How do you know that? I can tell you real easy. Why do you wear the clothes that you wear? I mean, I'm not saying that, I'm not endorsing that we should become like a nudist church. That's not what I'm saying at all. We have people come up all naked. No, don't say that. Put clothes on. Why do you wear the style of clothes that you wear? Have you ever noticed that? Anybody? Because they fit? That's a good one. Sister, I've been with you on that one. Right? Why? Why do you comb your hair a certain kind of way? Why do styles come and go? Like, for a while there was all the skinny pants, and I hated it. I couldn't buy a regular pair of pants. I was like, who decided that I was going to wear pants right here all sucked up right here everywhere? Remember that phase? Hated that phase. The bell-bottom phase, yeah. Right? It's still cool, yeah. The hairstyles come and go, but this style right here is timeless. People who have hair do this on purpose, brother. We're good. But the styles come and go. And you know what styles back in? The baggy clothes is back in, huh? You know, it's like, wait a minute. I see my daughter's clothes or JD. I was like, hey, the clothes is kind of baggy again. That was a style when we were kids, guys. It comes and goes, right? For a while, it was the poofy hair. Now it's the regular hair. The haircut that I will never understand is the Edgar hairstyle. I don't know. I will never get their haircut, ever. I'm like, what's wrong with your hair, bro? Like, you need a new barber. Sorry. Hopefully nobody has a hairstyle in here. I'm like, your name's not even Edgar, you know? Like, I don't even understand that one. But styles come and go because we want to what? We want to fit in. We want somebody's approval. We don't want to be the one that sticks out. We don't want to be the lame one, right? We're doing it because we want to gain people to like us. And if I dress like a nerd or a dork, then I'm going to stand out, right? I'm going to get made fun of. People are going to tease me. I'm going to be like I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb for the bullies to bully me. Or sometimes we're seeking what? Comfort. Seeking comfort. We don't want to push ourselves. We don't want to extend ourselves. We like to be comfortable. Right? And sometimes we even quietly work so hard towards what? Being successful. Because whenever you talk to somebody, they usually don't brag about, like, how are you doing, brother? Man, I'm so broke right now. Man, I got so many bills to pay. Man, nobody ever says that, huh? Yeah, can I borrow some money, brother? That's not what people usually tell you, right? They're like, oh, it's going good, this and that. But we're always trying to fit in at the end of the day. And that's all superficial stuff. What Jesus is calling us is to say, listen, man, I want to build a relationship with you where the true treasure is at. And the true treasure comes from knowing Jesus Christ. He's more valuable than anything else because Paul is telling us that, listen, you can do all these things. But he does in one swoop, he says, but I count it all nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Right? Let me say that again. Everything that you value, everything that you own, your house, your kids, all that kind of stuff. Paul says, all of that is worth, say it with me, nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Right? So brothers, when you get home, you go into that shoe closet, throw it all away. Oh man, I just got a bunch of daggers at me. My wife. I'm not saying that, guys. I'm saying it has to have right position in our hearts. It has to have right position in our hearts. Because the thing about it is, listen, When your heart is focused on those things, you become a slave to it. In the first week, we learned what? You can't be slave to two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're not meant to be a slave to your job. You're not meant to be a slave to your material possessions. You're not meant to be a slave to... Only Jesus is worthy of being Lord. And when you have a relationship, it changes the value of everything. What Paul is telling us is that our real treasure is in Jesus Christ. And the thing about it is, listen, at the same time, right, when you have your focus and you know your treasure is Christ, you will do whatever it takes to get to it. Does that make sense? You'll pursue it. I say this oftentimes, right? Young men in the room, they're always like, oh, I'm dating so-and-so, I like so-and-so. And you will do all kinds of crazy stuff to get her attention. Does that make sense? Yeah, we do. And so whatever we put our heart and our focus on is the same. Paul is saying is, listen, none of that matters when you have Jesus Christ. He needs to come first. He needs to come first. Because when we put God first, He changes what? He changes our hearts. He changes our identity. You guys all know I love myself a good Netflix rom-com. I do. I love to go romance. That's my little favorite, my genre. Same thing on Prime, right? I try to watch something. Now, time and time again, if you guys go through and you watch some of those movies, you're going to run into one of those movies where it was the girl who she randomly falls in love with a prince that was not a, he was hidden. You guys remember those? I've seen like three or four of those. Cinderella is one of them. There's that one where it's like the royal something. I forget her name. She's on all kinds of Netflix movies. But she meets the prince who's like, he's in New York, and then they meet and they fall in love. And now she's a princess, huh? You guys know that? And then sometimes they move back and they have to adjust to their new life because they have a new identity now. But listen, our life is kind of like that. Our life is like, not that I'm Cinderella or Cinderello, but our life is kind of like that. We're living our life with nothing, guys. We're focused on the little things that we have. We're working so hard to clean the floors. And then listen, the King of Kings comes in and he says, man, I want to have a relationship with you. Will you be Lord of, let me be Lord of your life. I will provide for you. I will meet all your needs. Everything that you've been working so hard for, I can provide it for you. And then suddenly you have a new identity in Jesus Christ. Better than the royal one, right? The eternal one, right? That we become children of God. And so sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our brain around that because like, I can't see that. We have to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And then he gives us a new name and a new identity. And he calls us sons and daughters. And that's different. Because now I'm not having to compete for what people think about me. I'm not having to stack up all these things about how I look and what I drive and this and that. I tell people honestly, straight up, I say, man, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. And sometimes you have a hard time saying, no. Listen. Really wrap your brain around what it means to be loved by God. Not the kind of love that you fear, well, that kind of love lets me down. No, the kind of love that never lets you down. The kind of love that always shows up. The kind of love that meets all of your needs. Right? That's different. And so when I'm full and I know who I'm made up for and I'm worshiping God, it makes my life a whole lot easier because it changes my priorities on things. A lot of times we think that the priority in our life is our relationship with our spouse or with our kids. It's not. Your number one priority is your relationship with God. Why? Because you're putting all your hopes and your dreams on your spouse or that person or your kids. You're going to be let down. Only God makes us whole. And here's the thing, guys. We learned this in the first week. Every one of us is going to have a God appointment. And we're not, God forbid that something happens to us, we are usually going to show up alone to that appointment. I don't like to be alone. Everywhere I go, I want to bring my wife. I want to bring my husband. I want to bring my friend. I want to bring my kids. Most of the time, you're showing up to that appointment alone. And the question is, what did you do with my son? Is he Lord? Did you know about him? We're just something that was convenient for you. That should change everything, guys. That's what we're trying to learn about today, is that the hidden treasure, listen, the things of Christ, they're hidden. The good things of Christ. Now, He's manifested in all of reality. He's manifested here. He's manifested in His Son, in the book, in the Holy Spirit. But you're going to have to go get it. Does that make sense? He's already come all the way. I said, man, Jesus comes like 99% of the way, guys. You need like 1% effort. Right? But it should change how we live our life. That's what Paul is telling us. Your relationship with Jesus Christ changes the value of everything else. Now, let me be crystal clear. Because sometimes when I speak like that, somebody will call me and say, well, the pastor said I don't really have to pay attention to you anymore. I didn't say that at all. Okay. Yeah, he said that my number one relationship was God. Yes. And everything else comes after that. Does that make sense? Now, God is so good that when you're connected with God, all your other relationships start to grow. Because He starts to put to death, what? The number one. He says, it's not about you anymore, it's about Me. And walking in My obedience, walking in My purpose. And there's a blueprint for how I want you to parent your kids. There's a blueprint for how I want you to treat your wife. There's a blueprint for how I want you to treat your husband. Uh-oh. But it comes from knowing God first and being under His headship and surrender to that. And He changes my priorities that way. So Paul says that everything that you've been working towards, it's all garbage. You know, it's all trash. What? I know, I'm not saying, I always say like, people give me weird looks when I say that, but listen, he's talking to create the big contrast, the things that you value in this world, you got to value God first. And then it's the other things. I said this 2 weeks ago. It's the people in your life. That God has given you treasures. Usually it's the person sitting next to you or across from you, or the people who live under the same roof as you. But we are so fixated on our jobs and on different things that we are missing the mark, guys. So we have to ask ourselves, what is my identity today founded in, is it found in Christ or in my accomplishments, in my job, in my bank account? The other question that we have to is God shaping every part of my life or just the parts that are convenient? When it doesn't cost me anything, when it's convenient, I'll do it. But if the pastor wants me to show up at this time and this and that, nah. I don't got time for that. That makes sense? Yeah, it does. The other thing you need to ask yourself is there something that you need to prioritize today? Are you putting different priorities in your life ahead of God because you're too busy? Because the second point for today's message is what? The greatest treasure is knowing Christ. The greatest treasure is knowing Christ. In fact, Paul tells us that in verse 8. It says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. That means that what? You're going to have to surrender some things. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's your leisure. Sometimes it's the things of comfort. But listen, you're not going to grow. I'm going to be quite honest with you. You think that Jesus came and He died on the cross to make you as comfortable as you want. Like, come here, baby. Let me put your feet up. Don't do anything. Let me massage your feet. I mean, He came to wash the disciples' feet, but He's not going to come massage your feet. He's not going to come into your house. He's not going to say, oh, brother, it's time to wake up. It's time to pray. Remember, God is the creator of the universe. He's not your puppy. He's not a little stuffed animal. A lot of times you hear a lot about God. Oh, God is so good. He is good. God is so kind. He is kind. God is so merciful. He is merciful. And you start to think about Him like He's like a little teddy bear. Oh, God is so, yeah. Oh, I like that. I love this God. Right? He's so soft and squishy. I love that God. What about the God of wrath and justice? What about the lake of fire? What about hell and condemnation? I don't want to hear about that, Pastor. That God's mean. I don't like Him. We have to remember that, listen, the God that we serve is awesome and powerful. Every time that God is described in the Bible, people fall on their face. They say, woe is me. I am a man of what? I am unclean. I am going to die. Does that make sense? He's not a teddy bear. That's why what? The first words of Proverbs, what? Fear, what? Is the beginning of wisdom. That you recognize that he's good and he's powerful and he invites you into a relationship, but you have to do your part. Some of us want him to do everything for us. You guys have kids like that that want you to do everything for them? One, two honest parents. Three, yes. And you're like, what the heck, man? Do your own, you got to do your own part too. This is the foot that we use to kick the kids. Like that. You want to give them a kick, right? A little bit of this too. Listen, it doesn't feel good for us to do that for our parents. Why do we expect that God is going to go all the way for, you know, he's going to do everything for me? Come on, you have to do your part. You have to do your part. The greatest treasure is knowing Jesus Christ. He invites you. And then sometimes we treat it as like, well, if I have time, if I don't feel tired, I'll get up. Come on, guys. God is inviting us to turn up the heat a little bit in our relationship with him, right? He is. You can't just be lukewarm in your relationship and expect things to work out. You know, I've told you guys this before. I love this woman like nobody else's business. You know why? What does it cost me? It's cost me everything. And I mean that. I said, man, when you learn to love somebody, and I really mean them, it's going to cost you something. And why did I say that? I say it not because I'm like, oh man, I want to know more. Pastor needs to write a book. Those kind of, there is. God is glorified in our marriage, not because we're good, because God is good. And because it costs me something. Every single person that is either a parent or you've been married or you have a relationship, you know what I'm talking about. It costs you something. And I always say, listen, it's going to cost you everything. Why? What does Jesus model for me on the cross? What did he do to show me that he loved me? He gave his life for us. And we want to have good relationships and expect that we're going to have it our own way. It doesn't work that way. It's when we're surrendered with Christ, death to myself, picking up my cross, that God shows up in a powerful way. Right? I had to go on the cross. Because the version of me that I was living before with my wife, it wasn't going to work out, guys. Why? Because I'm selfish, because I'm unforgiving, because I'm full of pride. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about it's costing me everything, it's death to myself. That's what Paul is inviting us to say. Listen, to know Christ, that he's your greatest treasure, what? It's going to cost you something. Everything else, get it out of the way. But then, there's the risen Christ. Amen? I'm telling you guys this because, listen, man, if you guys are in the middle of a storm, like a relationship storm, God is good. He's faithful. He's kind. He's merciful. He's good. Don't give up. If you're going through something with your kids and your kids are going crazy, don't give up. God is good. He's merciful. He's kind. He will be glorified, right? He's writing his story through us. I'll say this, and I say this all the time. Whenever I tell you guys that I love my wife more than anything else or that our marriage is good, I want you to think that we are the worst, that we are terrible people. But we serve a God who is good. Right? Now, don't go and start rumors like, oh, the pastor's terrible. He's not. But I'm saying that in contrast. You know what I want you guys to understand. Because we're not here to paint a picture of things that are like perfect and holy. And I come home and it's like, and then my wife comes home and Stephanie comes over and she's like, sweetheart, how was your day? And she takes off my shoes and she takes off my sweater and I'm like Mr. Rogers. And I sit down and have lunch and my kids are all, Dad, how was your day? That's not my life, guys. I have struggles like you have struggles. I got bills to pay like you have bills to pay. Right? But I'm telling you, the peace of God that lives in our home is different. I know what it was like to have a life without side of Christ. And then knowing Christ changed everything. Does that make sense? He's my treasure. And I have to tell myself and remind myself, listen, and I tell her with all my heart, I said, God needs to be first in your life. And I said, listen, I'm not her God. She's not my God. She's not. She wasn't meant to be my God. I was not meant to be hers. My daughter, I love her, right? She's not my God. Jesus is my God. And from that, everything else, and it's like, because then I'm not like worried, like I'm not like all oh, this and that. I don't forget. He gives me the strength. He gives me the knowledge that I need to be sacrificial, to love, to lead the way that he intended. Does that make sense? My treasure is in Jesus Christ. Our treasure needs to be in Christ. Get back in the car, Pastor. Christ has to be the center of our living. And to that, like Paul says, it's all garbage. It's all garbage compared to Jesus Christ. Right? But some of us, we need to take inventory of what are we prioritizing over Christ? Is Christ really our treasure? Or he's just convenient? Christ is in the trunk. You know, like the, you guys, how many of you guys have a, you keep all kinds of stuff in your car? You guys know that? I open the trunk of your car and you got all kinds of different stuff. A bag, you have a bag for that, a change of clothes, extra shoes, you got everything. You got food for a week in there. Right? It's in the trunk of the car. When I need it, I'll go find it. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. It could be kind of messy. That's not how you need to treat Jesus Christ. Jesus can't be in the trunk of your car kidnapped. He needs to be what? In the driver's seat. In the driver's seat. And we don't like that, huh? Oh, man, we don't like giving up control. We don't even like, don't even change my seat, okay? When I put it, you're messing it up. And next time I get in, my back's all messed up, man. Don't change my seat. Yes or no? That's how much we don't like to give up control. But we need to let Jesus be Jesus. Let him take control of our lives, guys. Don't keep him in the trunk of your car. I better not get out there and see a bunch of guys letting Jesus out of your trunk. Jesus needs to be the Lord of our lives. He needs to be our greatest treasure. And the third point for today's message is that kingdom people live with the forward focus. Kingdom people live with the forward focus. In verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this, and I've already arrived at my goal, but what? I press on to take hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of me." Kingdom people need to live with the forward focus. See, when you read this, when you look at Paul, you would say, man, this guy planted all these churches. He wrote all these letters, all these epistles. He did a lot for the Lord, didn't he? He did. If anybody had the ability to say, man, I've already done enough for Jesus Christ, I'm good, I'm tapping out, it could have been Paul. What does he say? I haven't done anything. I'm still pressing forward. I'm still working for God. I haven't achieved anything at all. Now, some of us, we have to kind of take inventory there because Paul's giving us a little bit of a slap in the face. He's saying, listen, you got to make some decisions. Because he said, listen, I'm not looking back, I'm looking forward. Now, whenever you stop looking back and you start looking forward, you have two different things that are happening there. Some of us here, let me find out which camp you're in. Some of us are in the camp where we're always looking back. Looking back at our past failures, looking back at our past hurts, looking back at our insecurities, looking back. And that stops us from moving forward with God. Why? Because we're living in that pain. We're still living in that trauma. We're still living in that hurt. Does that make sense? Jesus came to set us free from all of that. God is who he says that he is, right? He doesn't just say, well, from this day forward, I'm going to make you good. No, he came to take all of you. And if we're honest, thank God for that. Amen? Because we have some baggage to deal with. We have some hurt. We have some unforgiveness. People have hurt us. We have hurt people. But Jesus says, man, I came to take all of your sin and all the sin that people have committed against you. Let me be God, right? And so we might be in that camp where he says, forget the past and press forward to the things of God. Now, some of us in here, we need to let go. We think that we can walk alongside with all this trauma and all this hurt and all this pain. We're walking around with all kinds of different things. You got to let it go, guys. You got to let go. And let God be God. And he says, listen, man, forget all the things of the past. Your eyes are in the front of your head so you can look forward to the things of Christ. But we have to let go. Now, some of us, again, Paul is writing to, we're in that camp. I'm hurt. Let go. I can't forgive. I can never. Those are not things of Christ. Those are not words that you're not going to see that in the Bible. The things you're going to see in the Bible is, I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? That God's mercies are renewed daily, right? That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Things of the world to say, like, I am so hurt. I can never let go. You don't understand. That's not of God, guys. That's of the flesh. That's of the world. And we learned 3 weeks ago that we're not victims in Jesus Christ. We are victors in Jesus Christ. And so we have to let go and let God. And that doesn't mean that we're just going to be naive. No, we know there is some real trauma that we have to deal with. But Christ meets us at every one of our needs. We have to surrender it to him. Now, you might be on the other camp. Now, the other camp sometimes looks along and I've been saved for a long time, Pastor. And man, when I first got saved, I was on fire for the Lord. I was leading Bible studies at my house. I was volunteering at VBS. I was with the kids camp all the time. And I'm done with that already, Pastor. Somebody else can do that now. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. You think you chalked up so much points that you're like, oh, I've already earned my salvation with Christ. I don't have to serve anymore. Be careful, Christian. That's like me saying, babe, I've been good to you all these years. From now on, I just do whatever I want to do. Right? I come home when I want. I'll give you money if I want to give you money. Right? Oh, man, she's already like, somebody save me. I already with her. She killed me with her eyes right now. Dagger. Whatever I want to do, I want to do it because, yeah. How is that going to work out for me? I've been good in the past to all these years, but I'm already good now. I have enough credits in the bank, babe. That's not going to work. Heck no. All the wives are, you better not even. I see the man getting pinched right now. Oh, it hurts right there, Pastor. Move it on. Get on with it. And it's the same for the women, too. You're not done. You haven't arrived yet. We have to keep working at it, right? We have to keep living for each other. We have to live for God. We have to keep serving. We can't take that mindset and the posture that I've already done enough for the Lord. What? He went to the cross for you? That makes sense? So we have to measure, what camp are we in? Are we in the camp that it's like, I've already done enough? Or the camp that I can't move on, I can't forgive? No, Paul says, forget all the things of the past. And what? Step forward for Jesus Christ. Right? He's saying, man, he's inviting you to do a new thing. Isn't that awesome that Jesus says, man, I'm not even done with you yet. Paul, who had done so much, Paul saying, man, I'm just barely getting started. Christ is just doing a work in me. Isn't that awesome? Man, listen, some of us are young. Some of us are a little bit more mature in age. But listen, he's not done with us. Keep working for him. The best is yet to come. You know how I know? You know how I know the best is yet to come? Because we're not in front of Jesus yet. Right? He's inviting us to be a part of it. So listen, take inventory of your life. Do we need to let go of some, unhitch the trailer of unforgiveness, of resentment, of hate and pain and trauma? Unhitch that trailer. You know how fast you can run without it? And the other one is like, hey, you haven't arrived yet. Keep working for God. None of us has arrived. If Paul himself is saying, listen, I count that all rubbish. I'm stressing forward so I can achieve what God has for me. In verse 8, let me read it again. Sorry, it's in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this already or arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Man, you've been saved because God loves you. But you've also been saved for a purpose. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that awesome? Like, you're not here by accident. Like, the world will tell you, the sciences, how many of you guys are taking science and all these other things, and your great-grandpa's a monkey. You're just here by accident. None of that matters. You don't matter. What? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get that corn out of our face. God tells me that what I'm designed, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves me. I'm forgiven. I'm His. I'm a child of God. But here's, all of that is enough. But you know what? The other part when He tells me is like, I have something for you to do. Isn't that awesome? And the reality of it is sometimes when you look at it and say, like, listen, I have something that only you can do. What? You guys watch like those shows when you get a special mission and you're like you're 007 for Christ? Listen, God has a special assignment that only you can achieve. God has something that only you can achieve, Matt. Look at me. Only you can do that work, brother. Brother, sister, God has something that only you can achieve, right? It's true. When you look at the mirror, sometimes you always say, like, man, the world tells me I'm all this stuff. And God says, man, I've chosen you, I love you, and I have something for you to do for the kingdom. Man, isn't that awesome? I love that, man. That means that God has made me for a purpose. It has called me to something that's bigger than myself, that He wants me to live for more than just plastic and material possessions, that He's calling me to do work that matters in the kingdom that has eternal value. Right? A lot of times we get caught up by, you guys have seen me do this for messages. This right here. This is what? What is Paul saying this is? It's all trash. Get that out of here. This doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to who? It has it right there. It says the United States of America. You don't even own this thing. Your face isn't even on it. Your name is not on it. It has a value to it. It's a value that's given to it by the government. This is worth $20. This one's worth $1. I don't have any hundreds because I'm married. And I got 4 kids. But see, you know what you get. When somebody gives you this, you know what it is. They put a value on it. This one is a 20. Right? And let me just close with this. You know how much something is worth by what? By what somebody else is willing to pay for this. When you see a price tag on it, you're like, it's not worth that. It's not worth this. Right? When you look at yourself in the mirror, sometimes you say, I don't like what I see. I'm not worth it. And when Jesus sees it, He says, man, that is the person that I will give my life for. He says, I will give it all for you. Your value has nothing to do with this or what everybody else says. The government's this thing says it's $20 worth, right? God has already blessed you. And He says, listen, when the religious leaders came and they tried to trick Jesus, they always said, is it right for me to pay taxes? And He says, bring me a coin. Whose face is on that coin? And they said, Caesar. And they said, then give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Now, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You're made in the image and the likeness of God. And so when you finish that sentence, then give to God that which is God. And that's giving of yourself. And understanding that the greatest treasure that we have is with Jesus Christ. And that He paid. He says, listen, when I look at you, I don't see a value. There's no value. You are priceless to me. I will give my life for you. That's where the treasure is, guys. In the fullness of Christ. That it's hidden in there. Where is your life hidden? Your life is hidden in Christ. You got to go find it. It's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to have this amazing relationship with God if you don't put in the work. It comes from first recognizing the true treasure that you have in Jesus Christ. And if you get that, then it changes everything. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the true treasure of our lives, Lord God. Thank you that we are made in your image and in your likeness. And that you've come, Lord God, to redeem us. That you've paid it all. And Lord, the world will tell us, Lord God, that we are short, bald, skinny, whatever it is, overweight. But Lord, you see us as we are, Lord God. You love us. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. You paid it all for us, Lord God. And what are you asking in return? Except for our lives, Lord God, surrender to you. And Lord, it's not one of these things where it's like, I feel like we're earning our salvation. It's, we don't earn anything. We deserve wrath. We deserve condemnation because we are sinners. Lord, but you set us free by putting our faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. You give us all of yourself. You are our true treasure, Lord God. And so it's my prayer this morning, Lord, that we would just stop, Lord. Stop prioritizing the things that have no value, Lord. But really look at the things, Lord God, that build us, build our relationship with you. That help us to grow stronger in our walk with you. That in your presence is where it's at, Lord God. And we can build up our true treasures, Lord. That we put you above all else. That where our treasure is, our heart will be also, that our heart would be set on you, Lord God. From that, Lord God, you help us, Lord, to process. Yeah, we have some hurts and some pains, Lord. We have insecurities. We need to surrender those and walk in the fullness of who you say that we are. That we are loved. That we are a prized possession. And Lord, you've called all of us for a purpose, Lord God, for your kingdom. And so, Lord, we don't look past at anything that we've done, Lord God. We don't look at what we deserve, Lord. We look forward, Lord. We want to take the prize that's ahead of us, Lord God. We know that we have to work and that our true self and our true value is hidden in you, Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be intentional. Father God, forgive us if we prioritize different things, Lord God, in our lives. Forgive us. Help us, Lord God, make a decision and a commitment, Lord God, to live for you, Lord Jesus. That's what you're asking us. You're inviting us, Lord God, to a season, Lord God, of maturity in our life. You don't want us just to keep us, Lord, like babies, Lord. That we're just content, Lord, with the small things, Lord. That you have greater works for us to do. And we recognize, Lord God, that the real treasure, Lord God, is a relationship with you. Is a life surrendered to you, Lord God. And Lord, you know, Lord God, that you're calling us, Lord God, to look for people who are lost. You left the 99 to find the one. So for our church, Lord God, help us to have our eyes open, Lord God. Help us to be attentive, to look for opportunities to share the good news of who you are. You came to save, Lord God. You came to seek what was lost. And that's every single one of us, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, you just continue, Lord, to put us to work, to advance your kingdom. Lord, right now, if there's anything that is getting in the way of our walk, Lord God, bring it to our attention. Help us to let it go, Lord God. If it's that past trauma or that hurt, that relationship, maybe it's the relationships getting in the way right now, Lord God. Help us to prune that out. I know, that's hard. But if it's not from you, Lord God, help us to get rid of it. Your word tells us that it's all lost compared to having you, Lord. So if there's something that's distracting us, someone that's distracting us, help us, Lord God, to just reorganize our lives, to make you first, that you be the priority of our lives. That you would be number one in all things. And then everything else comes added unto it, Lord God, the way that your word says. You're calling us to be people, Lord God, that are set apart, holy, and good for you, Lord Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect, Lord. We're flawed. And every one of us in here, Lord, we need to be forgiven of our sins. And thank you for your death on the cross, Lord, that allows us the forgiveness of our sins. It allows us to be redeemed and be right with you, Lord Jesus. Be right with you, God, because otherwise, apart from that, we would never have that. Lord, you are our greatest treasure. And Lord, it's our prayer right now, Lord God. If there's somebody that doesn't know who you are, Lord, right now or maybe in the quietness of their home or wherever they are, Lord, that they call out to you and that they make you Lord. And it's a very simple prayer. We just ask God to forgive. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus, I believe that you say that you are who you say that you are. That you are God. That you are good, that you came to restore me, to set me free of my sins, Lord, of my past and my hurts. But I also believe that you came to give me a new life, that you came to set me free, Lord. You came to give me a new identity, a new purpose, and a new family. Help me to live for you from this day forward. If you pray that prayer in earnest today, come see me after church. We want to come alongside and pray for you. If you pray that during the week and then you want to know more about God, come see us after. Our greatest desire here is to come alongside you and to live the full life that Christ has for you. To know him and to make him known. That's our mission. That's our vision. So, Lord, just thank you again, Lord, for the goodness that you have, Lord God, for who you are. Bless our week. Keep us all safe. And help us again, Lord God, to keep our eyes fixed on you, to work for the things of the kingdom, Lord God, to set you above all things, because you are God and you are so good to us, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.